Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and beginning at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer to gracious Father. We have read from your holy word this morning, Lord, this parable of Jesus Christ, and knowing that he said that the word is a seed that the sower went forth to sow. And Father, recognizing that in a seed it contains life. And Father, we ask that you would, as we continue on in our study of the spoken word is the original seed, that you'd help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of the words of this parable and the words of your prophet. And Father, we recognizing that there's life in this seed word, help us, therefore, to have that life released within us, that it might bring forth the same image of your Son, Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, we'd like to continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word is Original Seed. There's 94 in our series, and I'd like to pick up again at paragraph 71, where Brother Branham is reading, or he's speaking. He says, Now the parable is this. He's actually reading, the seed is the word of God. And then he says, What is the seed of life? It's the word of God. Therefore, for life, you can't come through a creed. You can't come through a denomination. You've got to come back to the Word. Now, don't get lazy on me here. I want you to really focus in on what he's saying. Because unless you receive the life that is in the Word, you're still dead in your sins. And notice what he says here. Now, the seed of life, all right, his Word is his seed. And his Spirit is the water. Now, right back to John 3:14. There you get it again. You see? See, the Spirit is the water. Now look, John 3:14, we understand what it means if you want to read it. As Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See? Now, if Moses lifted up the brass serpent for the same cause that Christ was lifted up, now, what is it? And we know that the brass serpent was lifted up because it was life. If they would look upon it, they would live. And he said, Moses lifted up the brass serpent, so that the people that was perishing might have water for life. And look, Jesus, oh God, Jesus is the Word of God. And now we're going to hammer that down this afternoon, see, to prove it. Jesus is the Word of God. And he was bursted open, that life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is his Spirit, water flowing over the Spirit, over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed then there. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That's clear. Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's given for. Now, there are a few thoughts here this morning that are, I believe, are so important for us to understand, because we're talking about life, eternal life. So we want to be real careful and take them one at a time so we don't miss them. Number one, he said, Jesus is the Word. Now, we must understand what he means by this, because if we do not understand how that Jesus is the Word, then we will misunderstand what he means by saying the other statements concerning the life in the seed. You see, Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the Word, or if you misconstrue Jesus as being the Word, then you come up with two gods, three gods, or four gods, or whatever, he said, if you misconstrue. So people are going to look at the Word, and they see it in the denominational churches, especially amongst the Trinitarians. They believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and they believe that Word is the Son of God, Jesus. Of course, they believe he's a God also. But number one, Jesus is the Word. And we must understand what he means by this, because if you don't understand how that Jesus is the Word, then you must understand what he means by saying the other statements concerning the life in the seed. So number one, Jesus is the Word. But be real careful now, because this is why so many believe that John 1:1 is the Son of God. But John 1:1 does not tell us that the Word is Jesus, the Son of God. It tells us that the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. See, not Jesus the Son. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. Not Word, but the Word. There's the article the in front of it. And whenever the article the is put in front of anything, such as pneuma, which is spirit, if it says the Spirit, it's speaking of the person of God. If it just says Spirit or Holy Spirit, it's speaking of the essence or the life of God. But when it says the article the is in place in front of in the Greek, it's the Spirit, it's speaking of the person. When it says the Word, it's speaking of the person, not just Word. All right? And the Word was with God, and the Word, the person, was God. So John is talking about God here. The same, he says in verse 2, the same what? The same person was in the beginning with God, because he was and is God. All things were made by him. Now, there's only one creator, and that is God, period. It says all things were made by this one who is the Word. The scripture is very emphatic about who the creator is and who created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Period. In the beginning, who created? He said God created. That's all you need to know about that. And there's only one creator, and God is the creator, period. In Amos 4:13 we read, and for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So there's one God. And he is a creator. Again, in Isaiah 40, verse 28, we also read, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And again, in the New Testament, 1 Peter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Notice, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, who? God, in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. So God is the creator. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Now, the Apostle Paul taught us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's the King James Version. However, every other translation does not say that. That was an interpolation made by the translators. The NIV translation says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. It doesn't say by Jesus. Weymouth translation, and to show all men in a clear light what my stewardship is, it is a stewardship of truth, which from all the ages lay concealed in the mind of God, the creator of all things. Now, if you take this scripture to the Greek, it does not say God who created all things by Jesus. It says, having been hid from ages in God, the one, the all-creating. So the word by Jesus was an interpolation placed in there by the translators. So God is a creator, period. And we cannot find scripture that speaks of two that create. The Son of God no more created the worlds than William Branham created squirrels. God asked William Branham, where do you want the squirrels that I'm going to create? And he said, I'd like one on that tree over there because I know that it's impossible for them to go in those thicket. God said, poof, there it is. I mean, he didn't say poof, but you know what I mean. He said, where do you want the other one? He said, in that log. He said, where do you want the other one? I want it up in that sycamore tree. Notice then, if William Branham didn't create, but he was allowed the privilege to place the creation where he wanted it placed. And Brother Branham said, when the Logos came out of God, that was the Son of God, he stood there before the throne of God like a child playing before all of God's eternity. And he was given the privilege to say, I want the world here, I want the sun here, I want the moon here. He didn't create it. There's only one creator, and that's God. You see? So in Colossians, when it says that all things were made for him and by him, and was not anything made that was made, it's talking about God who's creating all things. Now, Scripture does not fight Scripture, and if we have many places in Scripture where we're told that God created all things, therefore the Apostle Paul is not going to turn around and then say, well, actually, God didn't create all things, but Jesus, his Son, did. No way, shape, or form did he do that. Then what does it mean that God created all things by Jesus? Well, it means just that. God created all things, period. Then you say, well, what does it mean by Jesus? Well, it's not said that way in the original. That was added by the translator. But God is the creator, period. We go into Colossians chapter 1 also and show you that it is not that it is God who indwelt Christ that created all things and brought forth this only begotten Son before all things were created, because all things were in him to begin with, the one who was in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians chapter 1. We were in him before the foundations of the world. Finally, we see the very words of Jesus himself, who said that God is a creator in Mark chapter 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. So the God who is the Word is the creator of all things. And as we continue in John 1 and verse 3, we read, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now then we get to verse 4, and we begin to see in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I love how the scripture is just so eloquent the way it brings it out in the beginning. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period. Then it says, and then the Spirit of God began to move upon the fountains of the deep. And when you go into that, you find that actually it says, and the earth was void. It was without form, and it was void. Well, if it's without form, it's not there. Even a mass of blubber has form. It wasn't there. It was still in God's mind. It was without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that word, when it says it was without form and it was void. Void means a vacuum. Like Brother Brown said, before there was even one atom. You see, before there was even one atom to make a world, it was still in the mind of God. All right. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. So the very first time God speaks, his light comes forth. And Brother Branham says that was the Logos of God coming forth. Because the second time he says, let there be light, is in verse 13 and 14, where he said, he set one light to be the sun, one to be the moon and the stars, and you know, to have for guidance over the, you know, at the nighttime, and et cetera. So we find God spoke. The Son God came forth. Then the next time God speaks, he said, let the waters from above be divided from the waters from below. Now you need light and you need water in order to bring forth life. We have hydroponic farming, and the hydroponic farm, you don't need soil. But you need light and you need the water. And then you can grow the plants, and the roots dangle in the water. But they can have life. You see? And then the third time God spoke, he said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. So God had to set and maintain, you know, he had to have a way to maintain the life before he could speak the life into existence. He couldn't say, let there be life, and then there's no water, there's no light. So God had to make the light, and he had to make the water in order for there to maintain the life. Now, so we see then that God, who is the Word, is the creator of all things. And as we continue in John 1 and verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now when we get to verse 4, we see that in him was life. And the life was the light of men. So here's the key. In him was life, for he is life. So we're looking at this thought here that God is the Word, God who is the Word is life. Now that's important for us to know and understand because life reproduces itself. And God, who is the great fountain of life, gave birth to a son, and in so doing, he transferred God's life into the son. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the son to have life in himself. So the life that Jesus had is the same life that was in the Father. And the life that sons of God have is the same, because he said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. He also said, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. You see. Now in John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness. And notice, the darkness comprehended it not. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So what was the witness from John? He said, I beheld and I stood there and I saw the pillar of fire, the Logos of God, come down as a dove. That light descended and it entered into, because it said, the Bible says that it abode with him. And that light, the pillar of fire, came down. And as Brother Brown said, it entered into the Son of God. God becoming flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God entering the body, and now you have a duality. God in Christ. Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Anyway, and so he says, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light that which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now let's stop for a moment, because we have something being said here that if we don't understand what it is, then we most certainly will go off in our thinking. Notice that John is speaking of God, and then he begins speaking of this light as being a person. In verse 5 he says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now that is what is there to comprehending? Like you look at a light bulb. Okay. What's there comprehending a light bulb? Or the sun? Or some source of light? What's there to comprehend? You see? But this says that the light came, the person, and they comprehended him not. They didn't understand him. You see? John is not speaking of a light as that which illuminates, but he's speaking of the one who is the light. You see, just like he was not speaking of the Word as though it is a compilation of alphabetical strings of letters formed into a word, but he's speaking of the person of God who is the Word. So too then, when he's speaking of this light that came into the world, he's speaking of a person. Therefore, if we have the Lord himself descending with a shout, it's a word. That shows you the very presence of God has come down. Then the word that he left us is containing life. And God wants us to break into that word, to release that very life upon us. You see, that life was released upon William Branham, and people mistook him for God. They mistook him for being Jesus Christ, because the life was so evident in his actions, in his speech, in the way he talked to people. And that same life must be evident in you and I as well. And remember, the light is a person. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now we could read it for this hour, because the Alpha has become Omega, there was a man sent from God whose name was William Branham. The saint came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, not William Branham, but through him, the light, might believe. All men through him. Him who? Not that all men through John might believe, but that all men through him who is the light might believe. William Branham did not descend with a message. God himself descended with a message. And when William Branham, when that message was revealed to William Branham, it brought a life with it. It released the life of that word. Like I said, to the point where people mistook him for Jesus Christ. He, John, was not that light. He, William Branham, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He said, my ministry is to declare him, that he is here. So again, we must know something about this light, which is a person that John bore witness to. And we begin to find out in the very next verse when the Apostle John says, he, now who's the he speaking of? He's talking about that light that John the Baptist came to bear witness of. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now notice, this light is now a him that John is speaking of here. He is the one who is the true light, the one who made the worlds, the one who created all things. He is the one who made the world, and yet when he came to the world knew him not. The Creator came to his creation, and his creation knew him not. Just think of that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, well, who are these many? Or who are these as many? Or let's say it this way, but as many as were made in such a way as to be able to receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that word power is a Greek word, not dunamis, but it's a Greek word, let me think. Anyway, it means to make a right decision. It means an ability to make a right decision. So he sees that those who were given, or who were of such a nature that was different from the world, because the world received him not. But these were of such a nature as to be able to recognize him when he came. These are the ones who are the sons of God. And these are the ones that he has given an ability to make a right decision, to accept their sonship. And then John tells us a little more about these who are the sons. He says, which were born not of blood, nor, in other words, it wasn't a, he's not talking about a physical birth, nor of the will of flesh, not the physical birth, nor of the will of man, no, not the physical birth, but of God. So these are God's children, God's sons that he's talking about, that could receive him when he came into the world. But remember, the rest of the world knew him not, even though he created them. And the Word, now who is the Word? John 1:1, the Word is God. See? God, the same Word. So the Word, who is invisible and who is spirit, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And how did he become flesh and dwell among us? In the veil of his Son's flesh. How did God become flesh in this hour? He took the veil of another man, William Branham. And he manifested God to the world. As God said to Moses, you be God to the people, and Aaron will be your prophet. I believe God in a way was, I mean, William Branham in a way was God to the people, not the man, but the manifestation through the man. You see, if I held up a mirror and you looked in the mirror itself is not nothing, it's just a vessel. But the one you're seeing in the mirror is yourself. And the one we saw in the mirror, because God's prophets are mirrors, they're reflectors. And the one we saw was God. We didn't see a man. A man, his words would fail. But we're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So these are God's children. God's sons that he's talking about that could receive him when he came into the world. Now remember, the rest of the world knew him not, even though he created them. And the Word, and we know John 1:1, the Word is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And how did he become flesh and dwell among us? In the veil of his Son's flesh. How did the Word become flesh? Because that flesh manifested the Word. You see? Notice this, and we beheld his glory. Whose glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we beheld his glory. Now that word glory is the Greek word doxa. And it means we beheld his opinion. We beheld his values. And we beheld his judgment. And Paul told us that the mind of Christ must be in us. Jesus came to express the opinion, the values, and the judgment of his Father. And we beheld that judgment. We beheld those opinions full of grace and truth. Notice that up to this time, John is talking about God who is the Word, God who is the light, God who is the creator. And then he tells us that God took on flesh, the flesh of his only begotten Son. You see, that's why Brother Brown could say the flesh was not deity, but deity dwelt in the flesh. Now let's continue in reading John, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So the Son of God did not just come into existence when he was born into the world, because John said that he was before him. And yet Jesus, as a man, was born 6 months after John. So this, along with Colossians 1, lets us know that Christ was before all things. And verse 16 he says, And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now what does the word declared mean? It means through words. Jesus gave us a manifestation through an expression. And that expression was through words. And through words we saw him. He was the declaration of the person of God. And yet he himself, the man, was not God. No more than William Branham was God. And yet we saw God stand before a man. You see? So John makes it pretty clear that God the Word, who is the creator of all things, and who is the light that came into the world, and John told us that John the Baptist bore witness of that light that came down and indwelt the Son of God, that light was the Logos of God, who is God, and John says, no man has seen deity at any time. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen deity at any time. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared, he hath expressed God's deity to us. The same apostle who wrote the Gospel of John and begins it by speaking of God who is the Word and how that God manifested his deity, his life, through his uniquely born Son, also began his first epistle the same way, 1 John 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning. What was from the beginning? In John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And in 1 John 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What do you hear? Words. Which we have seen with our eyes. What do you see with your eyes? The Word manifested. Which we have looked upon, and our hands have actually handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested. And we've seen it, and we bear witness. So not only did the invisible life become visible in the person of the Son of God, but we heard God through the lips of his Son. Brother Brown said he was a dual being. Sometimes it was the Son of God talking. Sometimes it was God talking. And they were confused. The apostles who were with him for 3.5 years, they were confused. Because sometimes God was speaking. Sometimes the Son of God was speaking. And we heard him, John said. The Word of life. God through the lips of a man. That's what we heard in this hour. The voice of God to us. Just using a different vessel. But you have to keep your eyes off the vessel. You get confused. Because one time the vessel's in a burning bush. That burning bush wasn't God. But God was in it. God was in the pillar of cloud. He was in the pillar of fire. That don't make it God. Paul said that rock that followed Israel was Christ. Where is it today? Still there. It's a split rock. I've seen pictures of it where the water came pouring forth from. I didn't see the water coming forth, but I've seen the rock that was in Sinai there. But it's still there. The rock was Christ. It was anointed. And God manifested himself using that rock, using a pillar of fire, using a burning bush, using a pillar of cloud, using a man. And God, it's his privilege to use whatever vessel he chooses to use. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness. So not only did the invisible life become visible in the person of the Son of God, but we heard God through the lips of his Son. And we saw God through the vessel and the actions of his Son. And so we bore witness to the God life, the deity that was manifested in our presence. And therefore, we can show unto you that eternal life. Now, the word show is translated from the Greek word apagelo, which means to declare using words. So we can use words to show you the same thing. So John says, well, let me tell you by words what this same life that was with the Father and the same life that was manifested unto us. What we did see and what we did hear, let me tell you so that you also may have fellowship with us, whose eyes were witnesses to the unveiling of God. Now, to bring home what I'm trying to get across this morning is that God is the Word, and God is the light, and God is the life. And it was this Word, this life, this light, that indwelt the Son of God in its fullness. And when it did, the Son of God became the original seed. And on Calvary, when his side was opened up with a spear, out came the life. Out came the water, out came the blood, out came the spirit. And when he gave up the ghost, he gave up that life, that eternal life that was in him, so that it might come back upon us. That is how he could die. His side was split open, and the life, the water, the blood was let loose from his side. And this was so that we might receive the same washing of water, the same cleansing by the blood, and the same life that was in him, that it could be released back upon us to nourish the seed life that lays down within us by predestination. Now, we're still focusing on what Brother Branham was saying in the spoken word is the original seed. In paragraph 72, Jesus is the Word, he says. And how is Jesus the Word? Brother Branham continues. He says, and now it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. And Philip was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, now Brother Branham, when he says in other words, he's telling us what it means. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God, and then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? In fact, that very scripture where he says, when you see me, you see the Father. He said, the Father dwelleth in me. The very next verse, the Father dwelleth in me. That's why when you see me, you see the expression of the Father. Now, I want to show you the hypocritical nature of those who would preach against the duality of Christ, of God being in Christ. Because in John 17, verse 11, Jesus says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, first of all, what is the name? Father's name. Didn't Jesus come in his Father's name? And the name of the Father is Jesus, or Jehovah Savior. And how is it that we might become one, even as, or in the same way, that Jesus and the Father were one? Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. Now John 17:20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, now listen, and the glory, the doxa, the opinion, the values, and the judgment which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even in the same manner as we are one. How do we become one with God? We have the same opinion God has, the same values God has, the same judgment. How did Jesus and God become one? The same way. God is the Word, and Jesus expressed that Word. God is the Word, and His sons express His Word. We are one with the Father, even in the same way that Jesus was one with the Father. Therefore, as Brother Branham said, Jesus and God were not one like your finger is one. He said, I don't believe that. Because God was in Christ, and Jesus was expressing the will of the Father. He said, I came to do my Father's will. He said, the Son of Himself can do nothing but what He seeth the Father do. Brother Branham said he had to have visions. What he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. He said, the things I teach, the Father commanded me what to say and what to preach. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. We are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son in a large family of brethren. If we could just let go, let God, and come forth in that same image. Therefore, it's very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory, same mind as the Father. He said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So it's the glory that makes us one. And that glory is the doxa of God. And it's the opinion, it's the values, and it's the judgment of God. That we might have the mind of the Father, and this is the same way in which we are to receive oneness with God, even or in the same manner that Jesus and God were one. From the message Harvest Time, Brother Branham said, that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. So if we're to be one the same way Jesus and the Father were one, then it's not us becoming God, like the oneness would believe that Jesus himself was God. Paul said there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But he said that they might be one, Father, even as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other and one man over the other. But that you might be one with God like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. That he was the Word and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all. That we might all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his own heart must be that one with God. And that's from Harvest Time, paragraph 34. So when getting back to what Brother Brown was saying in paragraph 72 of the Spoken Word's original seed, he said, Jesus is the Word of God. And he was bursted open, that life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over, the spirit over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed there then. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That clear? Produce the life of the seed. For that's what it's been given for. In closing, in Colossians 3 and verse 4, it says, When Christ, who is our life, he's our Zoe. When he shall phaneru, when he shall appear. Now the word phaneru means to manifest in his true character. Then shall we also phaneru. Then shall we also manifest in our true character. With him in glory. With him in the same opinion, the same value, the same judgment. So when Christ, who is our life, shall manifest in his true character, then shall we also manifest in our true character with him in the same opinions. We'll have the same opinion, the same values, and the same judgment as God. John said, Beloved, now are we sons of God, but it doth not yet appear, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. So the seeing him as he is makes you like him. Then when Brother Brown tells us that it is necessary for the life that was in Jesus, that it had to be broken free from the body, that we might also be watered by his Spirit to bring forth the life in the seed that was planted in Christ before the foundations of the world. That's why Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 11, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And the word quicken means to be made alive. No longer bolstered and ordered by the nature of the flesh, but by the very life of God living itself in you. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living by, I live by the faith of the Son of God, his faith, who bled and died for me. And by dying, that body was opened up and it freed the life that was there to come back upon you and I. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you because it is life. We thank you for helping us to better understand, Lord, how that it was necessary that that seed had to be broken open, that the life that was in the seed could come forth into many, many seeds. For Jesus said it's expedient that the seed be planted in the earth in order for many seeds to come forth. And we know that when you just take one kernel of corn and plant it, it brings forth several heads that have hundreds and hundreds of kernels on it. And so when the body of your Son Jesus was planted in the ground, it was split open, the body and the life, the water, the blood, the Spirit came back upon your church. The water to wash us by the washing of water by the Word, the blood to cleanse us, and the Spirit to quicken us anew. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all sing that song together.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Standing in his presence on holy ground.